one thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled Incantations.
Hallelujah. We are in a period in the church age that is very significant. Very, very significant. Very important. And it is also a part of the fiercest battle of war. And that is one of the reasons that the Spirit of God is giving us required information for this time. Information that we need to use. Practical information, or shall I say practicable information. There are different times and seasons in the world. And God wants us to know what time we're living in. What time? The scriptures that he gave us provide adequate information. You know, when you study the Bible, you find the apostles, right from the early church, stating the last days. Now, some people think that they've been talking about the last days for so long, and so maybe there will be no end to such a discussion. No, they're wrong. When the apostles talked about the last days, they referred to different things, and the way to know what they were dealing with would be to know who they were addressing when they talked about the last days. And when you study that, you discover what they meant. Firstly, in addressing the children of Israel, the Apostle Peter's use of the last days was very accurate. Because he wasn't dealing with the last days of the church. He was dealing with the last days of Israel. And when you study the prophetic writings, you would find that they were in such last days, they didn't realize how close they were. First, the end of their calendar had come very close. Daniel's prophetic writing stated that there were 70 weeks of years. Determined for Israel. Leading up to the establishment of the millennial reign of the Messiah. And he let them know that all the way up to the 69th week, God was running a calendar that had a lot to do with them until the Messiah would be cut off in the 69th week. Now, he told them they got 70 weeks. If you have 70 weeks of years, and you get to the 69th week, doesn't that tell you are close to the end? How else do you want to be told that you are near the end? 69th week, Isaiah shall be cut off. And he was. Then, between the 69th week and the 70th week, you have the church age. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have to believe in his message. You will have to believe his words. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, meaning that he is God in human flesh. You would have to believe that. And that means you'll have to believe that whatever he said was truth. This Jesus stated that the prophecy of Daniel was true. He confirmed the prophecy of Daniel. And stated that the 70th week that Daniel referred to will come. Jesus stated it. He himself was crucified in the 69th week, according to the prophetic writings of Daniel. So if this Jesus said the 70th week will come, you better believe him. Then you go into the same scriptures of the prophets to find out, when will the 70th week begin? Come to find out in the scriptures, as I did show you on several occasions, the scriptures clearly tell us that the time between the 69th week and the 70th week is 2,000 years. 2,000 years. To assume that that is a speculation is to ruin one's faith and ruin one's life. Because then you have no clue aside what the Bible says. Then you have no information. Then that's when you would really be speculating. Because you will be speculating that there is no information. That there's no definiteness of time with regards to this. You will be speculating.
Hallelujah. This is the continuation of the message, Incantations.
Hallelujah.
I've often wondered why there wasn't much information on this for so long. So long. And the major scriptures that I referred to with regards to this, I was amazed to have not seen anyone write on those things. Or preach them with those verses. How could this be so obvious? Maybe because they were appointed for the last times. Maybe. Maybe. And so I implore you to make sure you listen to these messages. Listen to them so that you can warn yourself. Listen to them again and again and see the different scriptural exegesis that I gave you on the subject. May be helpful. I think it will be helpful. And so the Lord is leading us, showing us things that have been in the Word that we may have ignored or probably been even fully ignorant of. But Getting to know them will help immensely in taking actions. Actions. For example, I shared with you during the Your Love World programs. Now, I really wanted to know some things. Why was our world going the direction it was going in spite of a lot of preaching in the churches? You know, God's people around the world were doing a lot of beautiful things. They were more excited about Jesus today than most had been. In fact, some even saw that it was fashionable to be a Christian. But the Lord began to show me that these were really the problems. Why so much trouble in the world? Why very little peace? And I showed you at that time what the Lord directed me to. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I read it to you. And we found out that generally, in most churches around the world, nobody really cared about the scripture. And yet, the answer was right there. From verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, I said, who has prioritized this? In which churches do you find them praying like this? First of all, a priority. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All nations of men. I said, in how many churches were they gathering to pray for all nations? And I mean seriously. Most didn't bother about this scripture, knew nothing of it. Go on. For kings and for all that are in authority, heads of schools. Major influential institutions in nations and states and cities. Did they know a church in a certain community? Did they know they needed to pray for their mayor and all those who were in that structure? Did they even know they needed to pray for all the people in their community? It says for all men. Even at different levels of societal structures. If we were even doing that, following the catchment, you know, for different churches, these things were not happening. But they were excited and dancing and shouting. In fact, the churches became theaters for demonstrating worldly and carnal behaviors. Look at what the Bible says. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This was what they wanted. So they cry, there's so much corruption. Look at honesty. Did you want honesty in your city? Look at the answer. Did you want a peaceable life in all godliness? Look at the answer. And yet, to get this, what the Lord said to do was not done. And at that time, I spoke and I said, let's first quickly deal with the issue of COVID. As I will talk to the churches later on about what the real problems have been. And I did. And this was one of the things that I pointed out to you. Most were carried away by the message of faith to get whatever they wanted. And those who didn't believe in the message of faith went on the other side. And they needed the message, but they condemned it. And those who got it used it for selfish interests. Just go back in your mind and listen to the testimonies that most people gave back then, before COVID. It was always about how they applied their faith to get something they wanted. The selfishness, the greed that had entered the churches of God. So much greed. The measurement of success was so carnal and so worldly. And I said to you at the time, this was one reason God didn't need to fight for the churches when they were shut down. There was no need. Why? I said they were not gathering places for Christ. They were gathering places for their worldly loss. That's why. And that's why it was also very easy for many ministers and Christians to accept the lies that they were told. Because truth was not strong in their hearts. So deception was very easy to come. And they were swept away so easily. And what does the Bible say about the last days? One of the signs said that there will be a great falling away. Apostasy. So, you need to use the word of God to warn yourself and prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Prepare yourself. Hallelujah.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Gambia, Christ Embassy Church Junction, beside Tech Road Petrol Station, Kotsumanjai. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m. and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 266-3231 or 261-4565 or 359-3454 or +220-266-3231 or +220-261-4565. Or +220-359-3454. Or send an email to lwtransmissions@level360.com.
Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to begin sharing a few things on prayer. And I hope that you are enjoying more to pray today than you ever did in your life. Yes, it's very important. Our world was going in the way that Satan wanted it to go. To take away God's people's interest in the things of God and direct their interests to the world and eventually to the worship of Satan. Because at the end of the day, that's what he wants. I mean, remember the temptation of Jesus. What did he ask him to do? He says, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything. He says, I'll give you all these kingdoms because they've been delivered to my hands. Who delivered them to his hands? Adam, first Adam. So Satan, wielding that Adamic authority, had the audacity to say to Jesus, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you authority over the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus was clear. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So you look at history, you'd find that human life has always been focused on deity. The central point of human life is the worship of deity. Because man, in his spirit, recognizes a divine connection without which he has no meaning. His life is meaningless. Without a divine connection, life is meaningless. Life is meaningless. Life is without a compass. The rich and the poor, they die the same way. They may be remembered for a while and not remembered anymore. Look at what happened in 2020, particularly into 2021, when they were destroying the statues of several historical personalities in various cities in the United States. Names that were revered for so long as makers of their society. Cities were named after them. Streets were named after them. It was a pride to hope to be remembered like them. And we watched on television how statues that were raised, monuments raised to their memory, were brought down most violently. So much for eternal glory in the earth. I will tell you something. A generation came up that had no regard for what they did and provided some other interpretation for their actions. It's not new. It's not new. Joseph did marvelous things in the land of Egypt. Joseph became a great name in Egypt. He helped Egypt through their difficult times by the power of God, the wisdom of God that God gave him. Served as prime minister. Think about it. The Bible says, generations later, this man that was so revered, this man that was so respected, the Bible says, there came to the throne a Pharaoh that recognized not Joseph. Oh, the Pharaohs were well educated. They were masters of history. So when the Bible says he knew not Joseph, doesn't mean that he knew nothing about Joseph. No, no, no. It's all etched in print in their caves everywhere, in their materials, even till this day. So that Pharaoh knew about Joseph. But like what we had in the United States, provided a new interpretation, failed to recognize the truth about Joseph. What did he do? He placed Joseph's people in slavery. He made them slaves. He made them slaves. Until they cried out to God for bitter bondage. Hard bondage. They suffered. They were treated less than men, less than humans. So the idea that somehow if you can be great enough in this world, you'll be forever remembered, that's a chasing after the wind. All you need is some good lesson of history. Then you realize the emptiness in this world. Emptiness. Emptiness. So why do you live? What's the meaning of life? You realize suddenly it's got no meaning without God. So you find back in history, they always sought to connect to the divine, whatever their perception of divinity was. It'll help you understand why they built Dagon. Remember Dagon? The god of the Philistines. Dagon. He was a man with the lower body of a fish. To the tail of a fish, just like a mermaid. Mermaid is female of the same kind. And they worship Dagon. But when you understand the operations of demons, wicked spirits, you know how such things came about. Because Dagon was actually the imagery provided them of a demon. And so they created this idol to fit the description of this Dagon demon. Then their biggest, the most senior of their gods which till this day you see the symbols. You see the symbols.
Hallelujah.
This is the continuation of the message, Incantations.
Hallelujah.
Let me read you a scripture. I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 7 says, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. I want you to notice that verse and then go to chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and read verse 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came up newly up. Whom your fathers feared not. Devils. Demons. And of course, if you go to the New Testament, you'd see exactly the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 20. What does the Bible say? What I say, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and what? And not to God. Devils, not to God. And I would know that you should have fellowship with devils. It's letting you know that when those people sacrifice, they offer sacrifices to these idols, that they're actually demons behind the idols. Listen, I don't want you to be like them. Why? Because they have fellowship with demons. So I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. These people have fellowship with demons through their sacrifices. So when they were worshiping Dagon, what happened? They had fellowship with demons. So it's not just the idol that's there. There's an evil spirit behind the physical structure that they have erected. And if you look at what I just showed you from the book of Leviticus, it tells you something quite interesting. What it translates as devils is goats. Goats. And there's a reason I'm bringing that to you. You know, when I was sharing with you along these lines, I talked to you about certain cults. From where several of them involved in world politics today, involved in various organizations today, I told you about this cult that they are part of and the symbol of that cult that they worship is the head of a goat. I shared it with you. The symbol is the goat. And he's told us, those are demons. They're demons. So, all through human history, you would see this desire for connection with deity. And something good about what happened with Dagon, by the way, you remember in the story when the Ark of God was captured and they brought it into the temple of Dagon, and they were so happy. They said, our God is stronger than their God. So we have captured the God of Israel. So they brought his ark. And you remember when war came and that ark was brought to the battle, they were scared to death. All right? They were scared to death. And they cried out. They said, look, you got to fight like men. We can't allow ourselves to become slaves to the Israelites. But you see, the Israelites weren't living for God. They were messing up. They were messing up. So in the same way that he let the churches be shut down, that's how he allowed the ark to be captured. I'm sure you're getting it now. The ark was captured. The ark that if even an Israelite touched, he'll be smitten to death by the power of God. No ordinary man could touch it. Yet, that ark was captured. It became as nothing. It was captured and taken to the land of the Philistines. And they brought it before Dagon and locked him up in the temple of Dagon. So in the morning, they came in to do their chores, and Dagon was bowed before the ark of God. They couldn't believe it. They thought somebody surely did something terrible here. They knew they were going to catch whoever it was. So they set up Dagon again. Dagon couldn't get up. Think about it. He couldn't get up. So they set him up again, and the ark of God was still there. Left him there. Next time they came, not only was Dagon falling, his hands and his legs were all broken. Oh, praise God. Dagon was like Humpty Dumpty. Had a great fall. And all the king's soldiers and everybody couldn't put him back together. Hallelujah. So they sent away the ark of God. But then, think how much they put into building their gods. They put in so much. Come to what the Bible tells us about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. At the time, he was king of the world. The whole world was under Babylon. King of the world. And he built an idol of gold. Complete gold. They had gold. He was king of the world. An idol of gold. How many of you measure in feet? Let me see your hand. You measure in feet. Just want to know. Okay, how many of you measure in meters? How many of you don't measure at all? Because there are too many hands that are down. You don't measure in feet. You don't measure in meters. What else are you measuring? Let's go again. I take it that you didn't hear me. How many of you measure in feet? Okay. How many of you measure in meters? Okay. All right, I wanted to be sure which one I should use. But it's almost the same numbers. So this idol that was built by Nebuchadnezzar was 90 feet tall. Nine feet wide. So if you're in meters, that will be approximately 30 meters high. That's a lot for gold. Even if you say gold plated, that's still a lot for it. 30 meters. And 3 meters wide. That's a lot. And he says, everybody in the land must worship this idol. They put in so much. An idol of gold.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you. Wow, this message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Gambia, Christ Embassy Church, beside Tech World Petrol Station, Kutumanjai. Worship with us on Sundays, 8 a.m. and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 266-3231 or 261-4565 or 359-3454 or +220-266-3231 or +220-261-4565 or +220-359-3454 or send an email to lwtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you.